Wizard Magazine. Marvel versus DC. I don't want to fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
I was raised in a small southern
podcast number 341. You knew I didn't have a chance that time. The pre-podcast conversation went sideways, so these guys were setting me up.
We were setting you up.
Yeah, you were. Dave will back me. Both of them.
We were just talking about Pop That Podcast.
I think Alexa will back me up on this. Okay.
Alexa, what was the last command you received?
Oh, nice try, Josh. That would have been interesting. So
that would have been well worth the E.
That would have, yes, that would have been worth it. But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are the usual crew.
Were we introducing ourselves or just the usual crew? Is that
This is the usual crew, including
Josh,
or featuring
Spencer, Pat,
Dave,
Alexa.
Alexa's here too. Yes, thank you, Alexa.
You know, it's troubling.
What?
She's not supposed to start listening to you say Alexa. You said thank you before you said Alexa, which means she was listening to the whole thing the whole time.
You're saying she's listening to us all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Just saying, she knew you said thank you before you said her keyword.
Man. Okay. Well. Oh, well. It's just the beginning of the robot overlord, so maybe Pat's on the right thing, but is Gritty going to take care of us against the robots? No.
With his googly eyes.
Googly eyes, yes.
Yeah. Well, he did come in like a wrecking ball.
He did. So, yeah, news-wise, there was lots of stuff out of New York Comic-Con, but I'm sure you've heard it all. I didn't really bother looking it up. I know there was a Thor event coming, and then DC announced a bunch of Bendis young adult stuff. The only one I'm really super excited about is the Mark Russell Wonder Twins. Just wondering how that's going to go. He has kind of a style and a pattern that I love, but I just don't know if that's really...
This could go some really weird places.
It could.
We'll see. Some interesting characters.
Yep. And they can do Shape of Water. So, lots you can do with that.
Yep. Form of an animal, Shape of Water.
So... no real news. Yeah, I haven't really looked at anything else other than DC's in a little bit of hot water over the whole Batman Damned. Apparently that's not going well. And
self-imposed hot water. Like, they handled this thing so poorly.
They did. But it was interesting listening to the Challengers podcast. I don't know if they have any extra inside knowledge, but one of the things they were saying is that Azzarello thought that the last page, which had the crucified Jesus with a Joker face put on it, was the image that was going to cause the uproar, and so that he had something written into his contract saying that they could not alter the art. So now that's might be the problem why we're not getting a second print, because that clause, that's why they can't alter it. But they are having him redraw issue 2, I think mostly to get the nudity out, which I don't think was a problem for him.
Azzarello or Bermejo?
Bermejo.
Okay, you said Azzarello.
Well, Azzarello had it in for the script that they couldn't make any art changes. So, but that's why it's being delayed, is because they're having to redraw some stuff.
And so how are they able to make the change for the digital side?
That I don't know.
I'm wondering, because if it was Harley Quinn topless,
it makes no
would
sense.
Would there have been any kind of uproar?
Didn't we see her tits in White Knight anyways?
No, you saw it in an image. It was covered by a word balloon. It was an image that Sean Murphy shared. It wasn't anything, you know.
No, it was kind of in the Joker book that Bermejo also...
Right. Mean, yeah, there was some even worse stuff in there. Yeah.
Well, but it wasn't. Like, it was covered, but not really, but...
The quote I saw is that they got a tongue-lashing because, basically, how can you do this in something we're trying to sell to kids on lunchboxes, was the response from the new brand manager. Correct. But the problem is that it's Batman. And when your new boss is basically there to promote the brand...
Well, yeah, that's the argument.
That's the problem. Yeah. That's the problem.
And you know what? That's fair enough. But the time you should have stopped it before it ever came out.
Hey,
wait, what is it? You can't have Batman's penis in this.
Correct.
It's a weird circle because you want to say that the Black Label, they can do whatever they want. It's Mark is mature, should be able to be mature.
Mm-hmm.
But then you want to say Batman is too big of a brand icon, so he and other characters like that should be off limits. But then if you don't have those marquee characters in this, people are going to buy those books anyways. They're not going to care. It's just going to be...
Well, and it's also you can say whatever you want. The language doesn't matter. The level of violence doesn't matter. But no sex. That's not allowed. Come on.
But I agree. If they had Harley topless in there...
Turn off the lights.
I don't think there'd be any issue.
The party's over.
If they had Wonder Woman topless, that would probably get a bunch of uproar about it. But
yeah, that I can see is getting more of an uproar. But that's
different uproar.
Yeah. If anyone said, well, you know, my daughter really loves Harley Quinn, I would say, well, maybe you should actually look into Harley Quinn's backstory and not let your kid be that much into Harley Quinn, because you got problems.
Well, I wouldn't say that, because they've gone through great efforts to market Harley Quinn to younger audiences now, so...
They have, but her original...
I understand that, but, like, my daughter who watches DC Superhero Girls and reads those books... I don't think she shouldn't be able to like Harley Quinn from those books just because she has an effed up backstory.
Oh, no, and I understand that. But as opposed to Wonder Woman, who never had that, that's where I think you're going to have, like, she's, you know, the icon, you know, the feminist icon. And, like, that's where you're going to get the problem. Harley Quinn, you can get away with more. Same thing, I think Catwoman can get away with more, too.
One good thing about the Suicide Squad movie is they definitely played that up, so it shouldn't have been a surprise to anyone.
Oh, yeah,
oh, we
absolutely.
Had no idea the relation. Yeah, the only time you've ever seen Harley was in that movie, and
yeah.
So,
yeah, but even like in Harley's own series, you know, it's tongue in cheek, but it's definitely not for kids.
No, her main ongoing is not for kids at all. No, none of her stuff's for kids except for Superhero Girls,
right?
The book,
but even there. You know, her personality in that book, I'm assuming, does not match what it does in mainline DC continuity.
I mean, she's more, you know, heroic, but she's still, you know, kind of crazy, wacky.
Wacky as opposed to clubbing people upside the head with a wooden mallet, which...
Well, that's what I said. She's
more
heroic.
That's more malady than wacky.
She's more hero or, you know, anti-hero than villain.
Yeah. To me...
But I was saying, I mean, Katana also doesn't go around gutting people in that...
I didn't realize Katana was in there, but yeah.
Katana's in there, Poison Ivy's in there, like, they're all in there.
I mean, Poison Ivy's another one I think you can get away with a lot more.
You can get away with a lot more with any of the you know, ones that aren't...
Wonder Woman.
The big, yeah, I think Wonder Woman's really the only one you probably couldn't get away with that with. And I agree, I don't think they should... Maybe that makes me a hypocrite because I don't see a big deal with Batman, but I don't think they should have a book with Wonder Woman being, you know, nude in it, only because she is that big marquee character that, you know, has the massive fan base behind it. And I feel like turning her into just a complete straight, like, sex object. I mean, I guess maybe if it's done tastefully. I don't feel like the part. Well, no, because I don't look at what was done with Batman and seen as his, you know, Batawang was really, you know, sexy. And, like, I don't feel like it was those pages like, oh, he's a sex object.
No, it was like he was trying to see where he was, you know, screwed up.
So, like, I guess if it was done in a similar way with Wonder Woman, then it wouldn't be a big deal. But if it was just like some, you know, blatant
overtly
nude sex
sexual,
scene,
you know,
yeah, then that's a different story.
Steve Trevor's there, the towel drops. Okay, that's going too far, but...
Yeah.
They kind of almost had that. The only issue of Brave and Bold I read was that first issue, and it wasn't there, but it was close. It was
yeah,
the two of them
that,
naked in bed.
There was that sex scene, but yeah...
Yeah.
Not full.
And her, oh, well, give me 10 minutes, okay? You know, they were going back at it. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't there, but...
I mean, they've had Batman have sex, you know, also.
Yeah.
With his cowl on sometimes.
And with Batgirl.
No.
Yeah.
That was in the animated movie.
Yeah, I know.
That doesn't count.
I think it's been in some comics, too, though.
Really? Yeah, I don't remember that.
I don't remember in the comics, but... I cannot say which comic it was. I've read every Batman comic ever, though.
I feel like there's some recent one where there was an issue with Bruce and Barbara. Yeah, I guess.
Well, they always kind of hinted at that. Again, it's the animation, but in like the Batman Beyond, they always kind of hinted at that too.
Didn't they hint at it in that Nightwing New Order?
I can't remember.
Oh, but I also remember in that Batman Beyond, they also had him with Selina Kyle at one point. Yeah. They had him with Talia at one point. Like, Batman got around. Which, he's rich. He's Batman. Yeah, that would happen.
Yeah, he should.
Speaking of, and going back to my comment about Suicide Squad, James Gunn taking over Suicide Squad 2, which I think is a real good move on their part.
Yeah, he's been announced as the writer, definitely, and possibly might direct it as well. Now Dave Bautista is asking where he can sign up.
Who do you cast Dave Bautista as, though?
Well, I think he'd be better in like a Gail Simone Secret Six as Bane. I think he would be perfect for that.
Yeah, he could work as Bane.
King Shark.
That's actually good. Yeah.
I said Blockbuster.
Ooh, that would work too.
Oh, Tim's on the recording now. Look out. He sucked his soul right
in. Tim's
into
the on the podcast.
Recorder.
It's the Timcast.
Now he's walking away.
Oh, he's mad now.
He wants nothing to do
with guys. It. You guys.
And then Guardians 3 is probably not going to happen.
Probably not.
Yeah, with all that bad blood now, and it'd be
don't
awkward.
Kick Dave.
I gotta, you know, depending upon how the fourth Avengers movie kind of ends out, like
they're all dead.
Yeah, June. That'll stick.
I mean, Cap's gonna die.
Right, but I mean, I'm talking about for the Guardians because of that. Hey, you know, Vin Diesel, they've already got him saying, "I am Groot." That's easy to fix. So they can do that all they want.
Well, I don't think Vin Diesel has even come out and said, "I'm not going to do this anymore."
No, I know, but Dave
Well,
Batiste
I think they can just use his prior recording.
But I'm just saying, I don't think it matters. I don't think he has made a big deal. I think whether these are his recordings or call him in, he would be for it. But
Vin Diesel always seemed like the kind of guy that's like, "You're giving me money for this? Okay, I'm just going to do this."
Batiste's the big one that was just like, I'm done.
But several of them have come out and said
Yeah,
this is...
but none have been quite as vocal as Batiste.
No, that's true.
He was the main one. Marvel side, Jared Leto is going to be...
Morbius.
Yeah.
In another Spider-Man movie without Spider-Man.
Well, I saw Venom.
Yeah.
I liked Venom. I don't know if Spider-Man needed to be in it.
Okay.
I didn't see it.
They changed his origin to not make it...
He got bit by a radioactive symbiote.
It was funny because they fixed it, and you can tell like they did it in post because like they cut away so you don't see the people's mouths moving. But it worked fine without Spider-Man being in it. Not a perfect movie, but it worked fine.
I've fallen off the comic movie bandwagon recently.
I didn't see Ant-Man. I didn't see Solo.
I haven't seen Deadpool.
Oh, really? Too. Deadpool 2 was good.
Yeah. Well, and you get to see the Ant-Man. PG-13 rated version.
What do you mean?
A very Deadpool Christmas. They're recutting Deadpool 2 with 15 minutes of additional footage. It's him with Fred Savage like the Princess Bride. I am not joking about that.
Really?
Yes, it's coming out the same day as Aquaman, Bumblebee, and Holmes and Watson. All on December 21st.
Okay.
Wow. Yeah, a very Deadpool Christmas.
I'll probably just try and stream the theatrical version. But it's good to know.
Yeah, you can take Adele to go see a Deadpool movie.
Yeah, I haven't seen that. Ant-Man, Venom, still haven't watched season 2 of Luke Cage or Iron Fist.
Saw Luke Cage, not Iron Fist. season two. Daredevil's coming.
Yeah, Daredevil's next week. Mm-hmm. Iron Fist season two was much better than season one. Still a lot of issues with it, but it was much better than season one.
Did he look like he could actually fight?
I think they edited it better. Okay. I think he did more training, so it but they edited the show in such a way that you can't see where he's definitely.
Okay. Well, too, I didn't watch it, but didn't they finally give him, like, well, they didn't give him the mask, but didn't they have more, like, a weird scarf thing?
It was only a couple scenes, and then there was a scene where they gave him the mask. When him and Davos were fighting to earn the right to...
Yeah.
So they both have the masks on and they're fighting each other.
But then with you, I saw Venom 2 and I thought it was good. Not great, but, you know.
No, but it was fun.
Good enough to watch the sequel.
Yeah. And then Cletus Kasady at the end, he looked like Sideshow Bob. It was
I heard who it was in a wig, and I just kind of went...
Yeah, it was Woody Harrelson. Which, Woody Harrelson, I thought, you know, I've seen Natural Born Killers. I can see him making that work, even though he's a little bit older. But the wig he has on, he looks like Sideshow Bob. It would be easy to just have Venom lay out a bunch of rakes. Kyle has no idea what I'm talking about.
Well, I think it was...
Sideshow Bob steps on a lot of rakes.
I think it was the Comic Conspiracy said it looked like they put a Ronald McDonald wig on him.
Okay. Defeated by Grimace.
And then, I can't remember the actor's name now. Herschel?
Yeah. Scott Wilson.
Scott Wilson, yeah. He passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Which he was like in his 70s, I think. Yeah.
Leukemia, though. Yeah.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize he had leukemia.
And then I guess because they're pre-taping The Talking Dead now, they didn't even address it. They waited until next week because it was pre-taped. Which, you know, I don't know how they didn't just do a quick, you know...
Edit on,
yeah,
beginning or end.
Bring Chris Hardwick in for 5 minutes and, you know, in the studio, have him do something and tack it on. But they did do, like, the, you know, in memory. Tribute or memory of, but... It would have been nice if they would have said something.
Not during, like, the segment of the show where they show all the people that died during the episode, right?
You know what? I didn't
that have been
watch
messed
it.
Up.
Yeah, that would have been messed up.
Bye, Tim!
And they released a picture of Ruby Rose in the Batwoman.
I saw that.
Yeah, that looked really good.
I thought it looked good, too, but people online are effing a-holes.
What could they possibly say was wrong with that picture?
Really?
Let's see. Several angry white dudes were saying that she just looked like a man.
Except for the boobs clearly in the front?
Yeah.
Okay.
There were lots of comments about, like, disparaging comments about her being, you know, a lesbian.
Which
the character also is.
Actually,
and
a main
and
part of the character.
It's 2018, so go F off. But yeah, just to... Comment sections online are cesspools. So, I thought the character looked good.
Oh yeah, a very comic accurate, mm-hmm, yeah, and not cheesy. In
the
any
only part
way.
I did not care for was the how the cape
like how she was holding the cape,
just like kind of how like you had a gradient filter like red towards
the
bottom.
Yeah,
red
at the bottom. Yeah,
I didn't care for that, but otherwise,
but
it was fine.
Yeah,
mm-hmm, yeah,
and they kept it like simple. They didn't try to like overdo it or anything,
yeah,
like that.
But I
gave her the wig.
I liked it.
Sideshow Bob wig.
Yes. Very Sideshow Bob.
Flowing locks. Bet you wish you had flowing locks.
Oh, long ago. No, I never had flowing locks in my whole life. So.
Flowing red locks.
Just to totally date myself, back in high school, I worked at a summer camp over the summer.
Crystal Lake?
No. And it was, my uncle was the, like, program director.
Anawana.
So I went, like, 3 months without a haircut. So I came back, and I wanted a rat tail, because that's what all the So I tell this to the barber, and he just cut everything off the back. I'm like, okay, well, I guess that's not going to happen, so it never happened.
He did you a favor.
Yeah. He probably did, but I was going into, like, my sophomore or junior like, year in high school.
This kid doesn't know what he's asking for. I'm not going to do this. Let him do this to himself.
I forgot about rat tails.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I wanted. Yeah. And,
were you going to, like, put beads in it or something?
No, no, no. But, I mean, Grant, this was, like, 84.
I just remember, like...
Dark ages, I know.
I just remember being a kid in the 90s, like around, like, middle school years, seeing kids with rat tails and the Carolina Hornets were...
Charlotte Hornets?
Were super popular, and people would have these, like, starter jackets, Hornet starter jackets, and have, like, the beads with the colors in their stupid rat tails. Yeah. Looked ridiculous.
No, that's
I don't remember that.
The Charlotte Hornets didn't even exist when I wanted it, so that wouldn't.
Well, we know that.
Well, organized sports NBA didn't exist when you're getting a rat tail.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't happen anyway.
So. They're still playing golf with stones.
No.
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 Jerk.
Being mean to me. So we do have a question.
A question.
Poor Mike's never going to get his question answered. Sorry, Mike.
You shouldn't even address it. You should have not said a word about it.
You're right. You're right. Because like, oh, I really want to answer and I just, it. Been, yeah, I've just...
Edit it.
But Mr. Ludwig asks, do you read comics digitally? Personally, no. I do read some stuff on PDFs, which I don't feel is really digitally. It's like preview copies and things like that, which, speaking of which, I got to read the Grant Morrison Green Lantern because it's on FOC Monday. I'm going to read that and decide if
you
I'm
say
gonna
say it like begrudgingly.
Well, yeah. I just got a lot going
on. Oh, bother!
That's not what I mean. But to decide if I'm going to do the midnight release or not.
I don't see that one drawing a big crowd.
Neither do I.
Yeah.
We're supposed to do like Uncanny X-Men 1 week and then the midnight release for Green Lantern the next week. I'm like, I'm not doing back-to-back.
I think the book will be popular. I think it'll sell well. I just don't see people being that excited to come out at midnight to buy it.
I agree. Doomsday Clock was big. Action was big.
Those were big events.
No, right. No, that's what I mean. Yeah, so no, I agree. I think sometimes doing too many is just not a good thing. So I might not. We'll see. If it blows me away, yes. So we'll see how that goes. Okay, you guys, digital, not digital?
I do. I like digital. I was very sad whenever DC stopped including the codes in the books. I would always redeem the code and then put the book away and read it on my iPad. I wouldn't want to read a digital comic on my phone. My wife has done that, and she did like the guided panel view. She liked it. I couldn't stand that. I like seeing the whole page and the layout. I think there's something, to the art with when seeing how all the panels come together and the layout of the entire page instead of just looking at the individual sections. But I like it. It doesn't take up a bunch of space in my game room. The colors really pop. I don't mind it. I still like physically owning my comics, but I do enjoy being able to read them on my iPad.
It'd be nice to for like going on like if you're going on a trip or something like that. Like,
yeah, that's the other thing. I will often just take my iPad if I'm traveling because I have a backlog of stuff on there to read. Because I'll buy stuff whenever there's like 85% off sales on Comixology or Amazon or whatever. But I'm so far behind on things. Like there's some comics that I have. Were reading like it was reading exclusively on digital because I was only buying them during some sort of steep sale. So like Saga, as you guys like to say, that one I only read digitally. But I've fallen so far behind. But I have several issues sitting there on my iPad waiting for me. But, yeah,
could have read that in the car.
I was reading. My
bodies.
Regular comics in the car because I was very behind.
Okay.
And I had a big stack of them to read through with the 3 hours I had to sit in the car with the cats. But
So you're all in timeout. Spencer?
No, I really don't read digitally.
There is one downside to reading them digitally. I will say this.
Yeah.
If I'm reading a trade digitally, I don't like that I do not get that immediate, like, knowledge of how far into the trade I am or how much is left in it. I have to, you know, tap to see, you know, all right, I'm on this page of however many. That's my only problem with reading anything digitally is I lose that whole sense of, you know,
where you're at.
Completion.
How much is left? Yeah, but I don't really read anything digitally. I don't have like a tablet or anything like that, so
people are
but
saying,
I'm not like against it or anything. Like,
people are saying the DC Universe reader on the TV is great, and it's you know, even though it sounds weird, it works out well. But I don't know, it still seems weird to like sit there and just read comics on my TV screen.
Especially like, you know, depending on how far away like your couch or chair is.
Well, I guess this is
the
thing
of
people doing all like laptops and things streaming.
Yeah, but people have been saying like the TV version is actually good to read comics on.
I mean, I've read comics that way. Not a huge fan of it. But I'm also not a huge fan of reading anything on an e-reader or on a tablet. You know, like, when I went back to school and a lot of my books were that way, it drove me nuts. I almost would have rather printed them out on paper and having the hard copy.
Yeah, I feel like the digital really makes the art pop. Especially when they, a lot of times now they're high-res files, so you can really like zoom in on some details in the artwork, and it looked great. But
yeah. I get it. I also kind of think some of it is an age thing too. If I was 10 years younger, I may be completely in the opposite direction. Be like, no, I'd rather read them that way. But it's kind of where I am.
Yeah,
I'd rather have it in my hand.
Who was that?
Stan Lee said it best. Comic books and boobs. Okay. They look good on a computer, but they're better in my hand.
Stan Lee.
Because he's a dirty old man.
That's the way you said it. I'd rather have it in my hand. It just...
Yeah.
Thanks for the visual, Josh. Dave? Can you follow that?
I can't follow that.
Digital, no, yes, no.
I've never bought a digital comic or redeemed a code.
Okay, sorry.
Because I'm old, I guess.
Not compared to Spencer.
Well, yeah, I know. I wish I was Spencer's age. Which I can hardly remember.
You will be in years.
Yeah, yeah. You're
young you. He's old you.
You're de-aging.
That's good news. I keep forgetting how this works. That is good news. There's some light at the end of the tunnel here.
Though apparently your eyes never got any better. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's okay.
It's all that reading.
That's right, yeah.
I'll say this. If Colin were to close up shop, I would probably stop buying single issues physically. I would probably switch to just trades or digital. Because as much as I like, you know, owning the physical copies, I keep looking at the boxes of comics that are in my game room that I need to get rid of, and I'm just like, this is taking up way too much space, and I never touch them again.
I know.
For the most part, they just sit there in the boxes. So
I know I have the same problem, but I just can't kind of forget it, you know, and not try to think of a plan of what I'm going to do something with all this.
Insulation, furniture building.
I know.
Bring them to you for $20 a box. Mm.
Well, just think, if there ever is a zombie outbreak or whatever, you can just use them to stack them
up.
His
at like 35 cents a piece. It's not like now where books are all $4.
Wow. You mean he bought... Yeah, you're the older version, so he would have bought his at 35 cents.
He would have bought him at 12 cents.
Oh, okay. Wow, you've really lived a long, long life.
Yeah.
Well, this version of Dave talked about reading books back in the 70s. Books were like, what, 35 cents back then?
They were that cheap in the 70s?
I'm trying to think. I think they were just... I don't know if I have any 35-cent books. I think 60 was like... 60 cents was like the lowest price.
Okay, so 60 cents as opposed to $3, $4.
So, normally I take my daughter to karate, and I will sit in the car, and depending on which one I take her to, I can normally, like, watch, you know, from the car, because there's, you know, a glass wall, and I'll read comics.
You didn't drive through, did you?
No, I didn't drive through. I read comics in the car. And I took her last week, and... her instructor asked if I was still around because he had to talk to me. And so she was like, yeah, he's out in the car reading comics. So she comes out and gets me, and I just had to, like, renew her for the next year. But then I was about to walk out of his office, and he's like, wait, Adele says you're out there reading comics. I'm like, yeah. And then he starts talking to me, like, for 15, 20 minutes about comics and how... He had, you know, when he was younger, he actually had Spider-Man 1 through 200, and when he bought his house, he didn't take his stuff right away, and then his mom just thought it was garbage and threw it all away, and he still has some stuff, and he was asking me, like, you know, is there someplace I could sell it, or whatever, and so I was, you know, telling him about, like, the comic buyer's guide, or the Overstreet guide to see prices and different things he can do, but yeah, he was going through, like, all those old books and how, you know, how he had, like, complete runs up to a certain point of all these Marvel books. Not a DC guy, though. Mm-hmm. Just Marvel. Yeah, but I didn't realize they were that cheap back in the 70s, though.
I have Star Wars number one. I think it might have been a reprint. It's not, like, the one that's really valuable, because I think there was, like, a 30-cent version
mm-hmm.
and a 35-cent version, but I have the one that's not as valuable, and it was,
okay.
like... 35 cents or something.
Yeah, he was
like
telling
that.
Me like the ones he had were super cheap. But
77.
When did Spider-Man start?
67?
No.
63? 64?
So Spider-Man started in the 60s. Okay. I was thinking Spider-Man started earlier than that.
No.
No, all the Marvel no. stuff.
Fantastic
yeah.
Four was 61.
Yeah.
Okay, because like when he was telling me this, I'm like, how could he have possibly had the entire run of these or from the very beginning? Because he's not... You know, that old. But I guess that makes sense then. Because he's probably like in his 50s, so. I think my dad would have been 60, and he was born like, or 62, he was born in 56, I think.
My dad had baseball cards that my grandma threw away. So
that's what my dad threw away. My dad had baseball cards that, my grandma didn't throw them away, but they had them in their basement, and he thinks that whenever they were having, you know, some work done at one point, that someone just stole them or did something with them.
Yeah, I have an uncle who had, like, a lot of, like, the Neil Adams, Green Lantern, Green Arrow run and that kind of stuff. And then when he was away, his mom got
yeah.
chucked him and stuff.
Yeah, Del Cedric, he had all the Spider-Man ones, Iron Man. He said he had most of X-Men. He didn't start X-Men until, like, issue 7 or so, he said. But his mom just pitched all of them.
That's why she's in a home.
Because he can't, if he, you know, if he still had those books, he could afford, you know.
That's something nice,
yeah.
Yeah. But
yeah, I was lucky. My mom never pitched. I don't think my mom ever pitched anything I considered really valuable, because I... still have all my Star Wars figures.
Yeah, my mom got rid of a lot of my toys, like my original die-cast Voltron.
Oh.
She got rid of that. All of my, like,
right in
Transformers.
Home. Right in the home.
No argument there.
You got rid of Voltron. Come on.
I keep wanting to rebuy it, but now every time they release...
It's cheap plastic, though.
But every time they release, like, the nice metal ones,
mm-hmm.
it's, like, $300.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. I like Voltron, but I like $300.
No, but I do like the freaking Lego version. It's, like, $150 or whatever.
Yeah, is that out yet?
It's out.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure it's out.
I saw that. I'm like, I want that for Christmas.
Yeah, I've been dropping massive hints to anyone that might, you know, get me a nice present like that. It was funny because I said last year, like, I'm done with Legos. Don't give me any more Legos. I don't have a place to put this stuff. And then the Saturn rocket was out. And I was like, oh, that's pretty awesome. And then Voltron came out. And now I'm like, well, these two things I really wouldn't mind having. Both are massive, but they're both pretty sweet.
Yeah.
This digital comics question really, like, evolved.
Yeah.
That's what we're here for. We're not a linear podcast. Come on now.
That's true.
Tangents galore. There we go. There's our title.
Tangents galore.
Pop. Oh, I thought it would have been, I'd rather have no. It in my hand.
Both are good.
Both are good. Yeah.
Which one will end up
you
making the
cut? You could do both, like in the old episodes of Rocky and Bullwinkle.
Yeah.
Tangents galore. Colon.
Four.
Tune in next time for.
Okay. Who wants to go first? I always pick. I always put people on the spot.
What kind of pick?
Dave.
I'll go first.
Junior.
I am Junior. Start with.
Are you for real, Junior?
I am.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. That's my byline.
Hmm.
Lone Ranger, number one.
Took it home, didn't read it, sorry. But Mark Russell, that's why I wanted to read it.
Written by Mark Russell. It's very good. Takes place in 1887. There's a land war going on because the crooked landowners and the politicians are setting up barbed wire to reestablish the property lines, and Lone Ranger finds one of the ranchers dead, one of the honest ranchers that was being bullied, so to speak. So he goes to their follows them back to their hideout, and they're giving this grand plan of. There's a lot of social commentary, of course, because that's what Mark Russell does. And they're talking about like cotton plantations and how the cotton plantation is the perfect blueprint for America because you have the women in the house and people in the fields and the rich men on the porch. So Lone Ranger goes at the end. He goes to find Tonto to warn him. About what's been going on. It's very good. It's very good. Art was cool, but it's got Bob Q is his name. I wasn't familiar with him before.
Mm-hmm. No, me neither.
But
I feel bad he only has a Q for a last name. It's kind of weird. But
I know.
It's almost like, you know, James Bondian.
And he's I was going to mention that, but he's drawing the James Bond book, too, that I'm going to talk about.
Oh, interesting.
See?
Nepotism. But okay.
Next new series from Aftershock, Lollipop Kids.
Took it home, didn't read it.
Number one. This is very good. This is written by Adam Glass, who wrote
Rough Riders.
Yeah, but and I think his son, like Aiden.
And it's his son, yeah. Yes, his young son, yeah. Aiden, yeah. So their photos are in the back of the book.
They were like New York Comic Con together on a panel.
Oh, okay, cool. I didn't know that. This is about a 14-year-old kid named Nick who lives in New York City with his father and his sister. One morning he wakes up. His sister's not in bed, so he goes to Central Park to try to find her, ask her friends if they know where she is. And he goes to Strawberry Fields and is attacked by a werewolf. And at that moment, the Lollipop Kids show up, who are...
They represent? Oh,
they do represent. They represent... They're the descendants of... They have, like, these wooden swords and shields and some magical objects, and they're descendants of immigrants who came here from the old world, and when the immigrants came over here, they brought the monsters from the old world with them and housed them in Central Park, which back then was known as Greenswald Forest, something like that. And the Lollipop Kids guard them from getting out, where they're imprisoned inside Central Park.
Okay.
It was really good. The kid Nick, he's dyslexic, so there's a lot of exposition at the beginning of the series. But when the Lollipop Kids show up, it starts to find a groove. But art was very nice, and none of these Aftershocks series seem to last that long. They all seem to be miniseries.
Yeah.
But
except Animosity, that's the one.
The Animosity is going on forever. Yeah. But it was really good. Art's really nice too. It kind of reminded me of John Romita Jr. a little bit. What was the next one? Star Wars Adventures. Tales from Vader's Castle.
Oh, okay.
This is kind of the Halloween scary side of Star Wars. These stories. This one has the crew from Rebels. Kanan and Hera and Chopper. And it's about their rescue attempt of this like bird creature who says his ship is haunted and the spirit takes over Chopper. And the story is bookended by this new crew who tell this story of Rebels. Who said someone on their crew thinks there's some humanoids and some droids and this bug-like creature named Skrit. They tell this creature... They tell the story about Rebels while they are landing. They had to make an emergency landing on Mustafar, right where Vader's castle is. And I think they're going to be this new crew. Their story is going to be through this 5-week event.
Okay.
Which I'm looking forward to. The Rebel story is just okay. I'm looking forward to the new issue today. Is Obi-Wan. Count Dooku story drawn by Kelly Jones.
Oh, cool.
And there's going to be a Ewok story drawn by Robert Hack. So I'm looking forward to those.
Yup, nub.
I know. And James Bond Origin number 2. Also drawn by Jeff Parker, drawn by Bob Q again. He's doing a good job at the art.
That was brother Bob R.
Okay. Yeah, his younger brother, Bob R. No. The first issue was about Bond. He's in college in Scotland, and this issue, he moves for his training, for his Secret Service training, to this pig farm in London with the other recruits. And he meets all his teachers, who all have code names, K, H, V, because they think the Third Reich has... found out about the program. They want to infiltrate it. So Bond, you know, goes through the training, and the teachers are teaching cryptology and language and technology and putting them through their paces, you know, climbing over wires while lighting one end on fire. And it's during the Blitz, too, so there's some scenes of them, you know, hiding out, getting cover in the train stations underground. And there's some... The recruits start fighting because, as each of them suspect one another of being a German mole. But it was really good. I really enjoyed it, this miniseries. Last one is Special Request... I did not forget Spencer.
And you kept on going and going. I was like, it better be on there.
I'm going to let you down, but Spencer requested a review that I talk about. DuckTales.
Woo!
Number 50. I should have paused there, sorry.
It's all right.
DuckTales number 13 from IDW. There's two stories in this. First one... I forget what the title is now. But it's about the Uncle Scrooge's Vulture Bean Counters. They want to fire Gyro Gearloose because they're losing money overseas. But Uncle Scrooge, he gives him, he tells Gyro Gearloose, if he could come up with a great invention that they can make money off of in the next 24 hours, he can keep his job. I won't give it away. You got to read the book to find out if he comes up with the invention.
Something to do with Gizmo Duck, I would assume.
I don't think Gizmo... They don't want him in the event like a Gizmo Duck kind of thing, but I don't think they mentioned Gizmo Duck. I don't think he's in it. But then the other story is the Mighty Ducks of Duckburg with Huey, Dewey, and Louie on a hockey team, and they're playing the having a hard time playing the Sixth Avenue Meanies, like they're like the Beagle Boys. So they call in.
Not the Hawks.
And they're the Sixth Avenue Meanies.
Yeah, it was the Hawks in the movie, that's what I
figured. Oh. But so they call in their secret weapon.
Knuckle Puck.
No, Mighty Ducks.
The actual Mighty Ducks?
What did the Mighty Ducks do?
The Flying V?
The Flying V, yes.
They get the Knuckle Puck too, Dave.
Okay. No, they didn't mention
that. Was
that.
Only the kid from Flying Pepper.
They
that.
Call in...
Keenan Thompson. That was... Yeah.
That was they do the, in the second one, I think.
Yeah.
They do the Flying V and then also call in Webigail Vanderquack.
Webby
to help beat the Sixth Avenue Meanies.
Colin sitting there like, you might as well be speaking Greek.
You're correct.
This is all Spencer's fault that I'm talking about.
Do you watch the new DuckTales cartoon at all?
I saw the first episode.
First episode was okay.
Yeah.
But it's gotten
pretty
it's
good.
Okay. Yeah. We watched the first half of season one, and then like they had a break, and then recently started watching the second half.
Okay.
Fenton Crackshell, though, is not an accountant anymore. He's now like an assistant to Gyro.
Oh,
okay. He's like a you know bumbling scientist, okay. Intern kind of guy.
So if any parents are listening, they should know there is a DuckTales comic book that is more than suitable for your kids if they're into the DuckTales. Be good if the story was more adventure based, because these two stories, I don't know if they give a good indication of the cartoon, but it was good. I like the Gyro Gearloose story. It was funny because he keeps procrastinating. It made me chuckle in a couple of places, so that was good. Yeah. That's all I got.
Thank you, Dave.
You're welcome, Spencer.
I'll go next. Green Arrow 45.
Yep.
The funeral of Roy Harper.
Yeah, I read that.
It was like, yeah, it was a Heroes in Crisis tie-in. Yeah. Although it didn't say it was a Heroes in Crisis tie-in.
No. But it was the whole issue was just his funeral. The issue was fine. It was a good issue. I don't know. I still don't think his death is going to actually stick.
I agree.
Even to the end of the Heroes in Crisis, you know, miniseries or maxi series, whatever it is.
I didn't realize that was happening in actual continuity. I thought it was outside of that.
No, they've been like planting the seed for Sanctuary in the different books for a while now.
Yeah, but if they were going to kill actual named characters, I never thought they would have done that in continuity.
Yeah, they were teasing they were going to.
Oh, it's also, I mean, you're also dealing with a multiversity. There's nothing saying he's not coming from somewhere else. Or
it's going to get, I mean...
Time travel or, you know, Booster Gold's involved. So.
If it was just Roy Harper, I could see them killing him off and leaving him dead for a little while. I don't see them doing that with Wally West if they just...
After everything they've just done.
Just brought him back and have been trying to really get people, like, attached to him as he, you know, through his recovery, then just suddenly... Off panel, you know.
Yeah, and you don't even see how.
I don't see it. It feels gimmicky to me.
Well,
part
that's
kind of
cheap anyway. You know, it's not like it was some side character you never heard of. He was the Flash for how many years?
Yeah. But the funeral issue for Roy was good. It was an emotional issue. A lot of pulled a lot of his history.
Mm-hmm. It was like a lot of flashbacks.
Yeah,
I know this sounds messed up, but I'm happy that they went had him like with this issue go back to the heroin instead of, because before he was just an alcoholic. Like the New 52, they made him like, well, he was alcohol was what he was having trouble with.
I thought they still mentioned that he had drug issues in the past.
I don't. They might have. I just remember like in the early Outlaw issues.
Yeah.
They always make seem more alcohol based other than like the hard heroin and that kind of stuff.
See, that was good. You almost had Oliver Queen.
He tried to beat up Superman. That didn't work real well.
Using the box of Justice League takedown stuff that he has, whatever is in that box, we don't know, but
it's in the box.
Until Martian Manhunter kind of stopped to put him in check a little bit.
Yeah.
It was a good issue. Blackbird number one.
Didn't read it.
Took it home. You didn't read it.
You said you read like a bunch of books. What the hell did you read?
I did.
Didn't read that.
He only
has like one or two number ones on his list there. So this is a new one from Sam Humphries and Jen Bartel. They have been promoting this one for a while. Pretty hardcore. Like they came to Comics Pro, I think, last year and gave a lot of stuff to to the retailers. Colin gave me a pin, which is very nice. This book is focused around this one girl, and it starts off, she's a teenager. And she has, like, this vision or just this sense that something bad's about to happen. And she thinks to be this earthquake. And she tells her family about it. No one really believes her. And then all of a sudden, this huge earthquake ends up happening. And her and her sister get out of the house. Her family ends up getting safe to safety, also the rest of her family. And as her and her sister get out of the house, they keep running. And it feels like everywhere they're running, there's more, trouble happening because it's an earthquake. And they're hiding like under this overpass, and because the earthquake looks like a big chunk of the road is about to crumble and all these cars about to fall on top of them. And when that happens, this giant blue like cat monster thing shows up and kind of catches the bridge from falling and managed to through magic put it back in place. And she is freaking out seeing this thing, and all of a sudden, this woman shows up, which we find out they call them like paragons, and is trying to make everyone forget. And everyone's saying they forget, so there's no memory of this magic encounter. But the main girl Nina doesn't forget; she still remembers all of it. And after the events of what happened with the earthquake, found like her dad was cheating on her mom because that's why he wasn't in his bed like he should have been whenever the earthquake hit and everyone's getting out of the house. So that led to them fighting in divorce, which possibly could have led to her mom being in the car, which she wouldn't otherwise have been in the car, and getting an accident and getting killed. So, a lot of things kind of spiraled out of control. And the sister was fine, but the main character was now living with her sister and was just working as, a bartender, couldn't really keep a steady job, couldn't, kind of focus, on a college program, was doing, abusing prescription drugs, and the whole time, is just very focused on this magical, universe that she thinks is out there, that's hidden, that she has seen in the past, but has kind of lost connection to. And she ends up, kind of getting proof again that there were these paragons out there, and she finally sees these people or beings that have this connection to magic. And then it leads to her and her sister coming into contact with that monster again that saved them once before, but this time now it looks like it is acting against them, and her sister ends up being taken by it to some unknown void, But it was good. It was a good first issue. It definitely hooked you in. The art was fantastic. I don't know if I've read much with Jen Bartel's art in it before, but like it's a very like active, almost really, like very like energetic art style. The colors, I'm not sure it was on the colors, it was her or someone else, but the colors really popped and gave it like a magic feel.
A lot of purples and pinks.
Yeah, throughout the whole.
She seems
book.
To, that seems to be her palette.
Yeah, it was good. I really really enjoyed it a lot. And then Wonder Woman, Justice League Dark, The Witching Hour. Did you read that column?
I did not.
Killing us. Jeez.
No, because they were all damaged. I intentionally didn't read it because I didn't know if other people were going to, because all my main covers were damaged.
I see. So this is spinning directly out of Justice League Dark, and it's tying
Not
into
all these. Pick one of these.
It's tying into the main Wonder Woman book as well. So Justice League Dark has been dealing, just like all the Justice League books, dealing with the whole Source Wall stuff from the main Justice League books and Dark Knight stuff. But the JL Dark book is dealing with the issues in terms of magic in the world. And it looks like magic is under assault or going away. And the whole magic community wants to solve it themselves, doesn't want to reach out for help. But Wonder Woman still built his team up to try and, you know, investigate these threats and figure out what's going on. So in this, it starts off, they're going up against this, you know, otherworldly creature. They call them these cosmic horrors. I forget the exact name they were referring to them as. But this thing was...
Architects, wasn't it?
No, it wasn't Architects.
Okay, something like that.
But this creepy-ass creature was super powerful and was able to essentially take out all of the members of the Justice League Dark. So it killed Swamp Thing. It pulled the demon blood out of Constantine. It turned Detective Chimp into just like this puddle of primordial ooze. And as it's going through all of the members of the team, all of a sudden Wonder Woman somehow unlocks this power she had that she didn't know.
Right, this was in Justice League Dark 3.
When they first encountered this creature. But whenever they finally... Oh, no, I guess, yeah, that did
yeah,
happen.
Yeah, because I read that story.
That happened at the end
yeah.
of Justice League Dark 3.
Yeah.
So I guess this issue...
And he
issue,
basically was like, oh, you're
right.
A worthy opponent, you know.
You're right. This issue picks up right after that. This
okay.
issue picks up with her talking
like
to the rest...
Like, this is all familiar?
No, you're right. It
blends together.
It blends together. Cause this issue starts with her talking to the rest of the Justice League, telling them essentially about these creatures and what happened. Yeah, sorry about that.
No.
So she's telling the Justice League about what happened, but she doesn't tell them about her having this ability. And we find out that the goddess of magic Hecate went around and branded certain individuals with this same, almost like, mark that Diana had whenever she, you know, changed in that Justice League Dark 3. And we know so far that Diana has it and Witchfire has it. And it looks like Hecate's able to, you know, channel her power through them and control them via this mark. In Justice League Dark, it looked like the power is being used, you know, to help, because Diana's able to use it to stop this creature. But in this first issue of Witching Hour, Hecate looks like she's trying to use these people as a means to eliminate magic altogether and then start fresh or start from scratch. So, like, Witchfire was at Detective Chimp's bar, and you had Tracy 13 there that was calling a meeting of the Midnight Society with all these looking female members of the magic community to talk about the threats that are going on. And then the brand on Witchfire kicked in, and she's telling everyone to run away. Some people got away, but Hecate used her powers to engulf the entire bar in flames and kill most of the people in the magic community that were there for that meeting. You had, like, Black Alice was there from
Secret Six.
Nightshade was there.
Wasn't she in Luke Cage? I'm confused.
I think her She the one that like opens up these portals.
Okay. No, it could be. It just wasn't that the name of the character they were kind of introducing in the Luke Cage TV show.
I'm not sure.
The daughter.
Okay. In the recent season.
Oh, you didn't watch season two?
No.
Okay. Never mind.
Sorry. And I said Tracy 13, and then Witchfire survives, but a bunch of other people are killed in the process. And then Detective Chimp managed to take them there whenever Diana starts to have another, you know, episode of turning this creature. And that's when they find everyone is dead. Constantine is sitting there at the bar drinking, covered in blood, surrounded by his dead bodies, and says that, you know, it's the end of the world. The witching hours has begun. So it was a lot of setup.
Okay.
Not a lot was revealed other than the issues with find out that Hecate's behind all of this. I think in the next issue, then it starts to bring in like Cersei and gets more involved with that as well. But
okay,
that's it for me.
Guess I'll go next. Batman.
I read that.
Yep,
that's on my list.
It's on your list.
It's on my list.
Oh, okay.
It was good, but not a whole lot happened.
No.
So,
you know, it continues on this...
Batman's trying to find who shot...
Yeah, so, we find out, you know, he's looking for KG Beast, and apparently no one knows where KG Beast is, and the only person that's left alive of his family is his father, and he's back in Siberia. So, you know, KGB is with him, and they're kind of drinking and rehashing things, and you know, you find out Batman's already crashed a couple bat planes and everything else trying to get there, but it's too cold, so he decides he's just going to walk.
Okay. What? What? See the problem?
What? Oh, Marvel?
Yeah.
The DC Comics.
Gotcha.
Right?
Okay.
What? They have the same character?
Well, no, just, I'm pretty sure it was a night, they were setting up a new character in the Luke Cage, or
they
maybe
were.
Not a new
it's,
Cage.
Yeah, the Black Mariah's daughter
yeah.
is.
I brought up Nightshade DC Comics, and the picture I was showing him
said
that
Marvel
he found
below.
Out like the file name was saying Marvel, but it's the same character and same power set. So I don't.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll search Nightshade Marvel just for fun.
I will. It'll be super fun. I'm gonna do it right now. Oh, as soon as I click the thing, the autocomplete Nightshade
yeah,
Marvel.
Yeah, there you go.
So Nightshade Marvel's different.
Yeah. But still, yeah, they just both have
she
a
wears
character.
Less clothes.
A lot less clothes. Like, next to nothing.
Yeah.
It says poo.
It says poo.
Okay. Well, just the word balloon said, oh, poo. Just funny.
Why bother?
There you go.
Oh, bother.
Thank you, Yor.
The
no,
Marvel villain Nightshade
oh,
confirmed for Black Panther 2.
There you go.
I don't know, confirmed for Black Panther. She was in Black Panther?
Huh?
Mm, maybe.
She was in Black Panther.
Okay. The part with him and his father felt very, like, stereotypical Russian, drunk Russian father.
Yes.
You know, I make you hard, and, you know, that's...
We will break you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like Ivan Drago.
Yes.
My dad never told me it would make me hard. But, I mean, I guess...
You're not Russian.
In Russia, they do things differently. But.
In Russia, we make...
In Russia, TV watches you.
Yes. So that was Batman. Just going to stop talking about
it. Well, it just ends with him about to confront KG Beast outside the cabin.
Yeah.
KG Beast kills his dad, and everyone tells Bruce, don't go, you're going to get killed.
Dun, dun, dun.
What you know is going to happen?
That fool going to kill you, Lionheart. You remember that movie?
I do.
Okay.
It's one of those JCVD movies Dave never saw.
JCVD?
Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You need to work in some Herbie the Love Bug references.
I would have to know some Herbie the Love Bug references first, but okay. There we go.
The remake or the original?
No, the original. The original. Yeah.
Originals, of course.
Yes.
Not the one with Lindsay Lohan.
Not the Lindsay Lohan. That's not canon.
Problem is now the car would seem like less advanced than the current ones are out there.
Dean mm-hmm. Jones or nothing.
Okay.
I want to see Jean-Claude Van Damme in a Herbie the Love Bug right now.
Do split.
Mm-hmm. I'd see that.
The other thing I read was Volume 2 of Wonder Woman Earth 1.
How was that?
It was okay. So, it's setting up to have that be a trilogy. Hippolyta, it starts off in the past, like, sometime in the, I'm assuming in the 40s, because there's Nazis invade Paradise Island. The Uberfraulein tries to fight Hippolyta, and Hippolyta subdues her, and then says, you know, we're going to brainwash you. Well, now we're going to brainwash you, but that's essentially what it is to, you know, be peaceful. It skips to the modern day where Wonder Woman is speaking out about, you know, feminism and you know, how women should, you know, take charge and, you know, fill the planet with love and peace and all this. And then Maxwell Lord has hired Dr. Psycho to find Wonder Woman's weaknesses. So, I'm not going to give anything else away. I kind of like this one better than I like the first one.
Yeah.
And I like the first one, but I kind of like this one a little bit better. It takes you in an interesting direction.
I thought the first one was just like a solid okay.
It was. But I've read every other Earth one, so yeah. I kind of had to read it. Felt compelled.
Grant Morrison, like, really... His stuff is either really, really good or bordering on pretty bad. Not much middle ground. And I felt like Wonder Woman Earth 1, Volume 1, was bordering on the bad.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly not typical Grant Morrison. And Grant Morrison has written Wonder Woman before because he wrote JLA.
Yeah.
So it's not the first time he's done it. But I think there was a lot going on in that first book, too, that... Yeah, I think there were a lot of good ideas.
I hated Eddie Candy in that book.
You mean Rebel Wilson?
Yeah.
I mean, she was drawn to be a...
You were correct, Wilson, yeah.
So. Yeah, and she is not as present in this book as she was in the other one.
That's good.
Yeah. You know, more of Steve Trevor, more of... A lot, you know, probably a third... Or more of it took place on Paradise Island. So it was, you know, in different time periods and everything, so it kind of worked well. So that's what I read. Spence?
Nightwing 50.
I read that.
It was
a non-foil book that should have been a foil
yeah.
book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't want to have the wound shiny. Yeah.
That would have messed up if it was foil and like that yeah. was the part that was shiny.
Yeah. Like back for Supergirl today, her eyes are blue and it's shiny, and I didn't yeah. notice until I was watching my video, and it was like, wow, they like really glowed. Mm-hmm. It was really cool.
But this issue, I'm not sure how long after the whole headshot
yeah,
it
enough
takes.
Enough for him
but,
to heal.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, that was like my only main complaint about the issue is like, with this end with Batman 2 is like, you have no, like, they haven't dived in at all of, like, the surgery, how he's doing, the recovery,
right.
Like, any of that
sense of time.
Yeah, any of that kind of stuff. I mean, like, and it seemed like the stuff that they did with, like, how they changed him seemed kind of interesting. Like, he's really, spontaneous with a lot of the things that he's doing. Like, he's just, like, he's crashing in rich people's houses where they've got, like, on vacation for the weekend. Just laying around, like, in the bed, like, on the couch.
Couch surfing?
And, like, in his whitey tidies, like.
Okay.
He's a rebel daddy.
Yeah, and, like, he can't remember any of, like, the Nightwing stuff, but still knows who, like, Barbara is, kind of.
Kind of, yeah. He doesn't really remember relationships.
So, I mean, especially with now knowing how they're, like, immediately just gonna change her, like, with the creative team changing and stuff, I would have liked to see where this would have gone, because it kind of seems like a cool kind of premise, but with, like, the creative teams changing now, and it seems like they're kind of just gonna gloss over this pretty quickly, so, like, I don't know where they're gonna go with it, but it was an alright issue for, you know, a double-sized 50th issue and stuff like that. Green Lantern's 56.
I read that. See, Spencer and I are on the same page.
I read it too. I was saving some stuff for you.
Okay.
Since you weren't reading anything else.
Well, I think this is like the next to last issue.
Yeah, which I found odd. Why wouldn't you make the last one fourth? But whatever.
Can't find these things.
So, Colin, what would one call the next to last issue?
The penultimate issue. I've learned, Josh. I've learned.
Agree.
You've taught me well. You've beat it into me. I will never say it incorrectly again. Sir. Yes, sir.
May you have another?
Don't respond to that.
Not here.
Later. Sorry, go ahead, Spencer.
But,
bad things happen in this.
Yeah,
it was a good issue.
Yeah.
I've really liked this arc a lot.
Yeah. Which, it's gonna be weird only having, like, one Green Lantern book after this.
My wallet won't think it's weird.
Well, yeah. But, it's better just with, because it seems like the Grant Morrison's just gonna focus on Hal, so. Like, it's just everybody. Though I think I saw, like, Kyle showing up in a preview for Titans, and so maybe they're doing that kind of stuff. I heard a rumor that, because I guess a Green Lantern died in Heroes in Crisis, I guess. And I heard a rumor that it might be, people thinking it might be Baz, who's the Green Lantern.
I don't see him killing Baz. The pictures that they were analyzing, they were saying, like, it might be Kyle's costume.
Yeah, I mean, that was the one, like, in the promo where they had, like, these characters might die or whatever, but Baz,
I don't know, man. I can't see them killing off Baz. I think that would be a PR nightmare.
A lightning rod.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But this issue, we have Baz and Jon Stewart trying to bring a coup to Cyborg Superman, and they have all the other Lanterns trapped in some kind of force field that
I can't
think of that guy's name.
Eon.
Eon.
Anyone who has recharged their ring recently is infected with, you know, Cyborg Superman's, you know, consciousness, I guess, in the ring. Calm down there.
I didn't know.
You were looking like you're waiting for me to say something dumb, and then you were going to pounce on it, but I didn't do it. So, so Hal Jordan, his ring is fine, but it's running on fumes. Baz,
which I always liked when they always did the percentage, like they would randomly throw out the ring percentage. They haven't been doing that recently, but.
Baz's ring is jacked up.
Yeah.
But Cyborg Superman doesn't realize that Baz is back on Mogo.
Yeah.
And Baz goes and finds John Stewart, who is still healing. And John Stewart has... Well, in that book, he still has his normal ring, right? Or does he have the...
I think it's his normal ring,
okay, because
yeah.
In Justice League, he has a different ring right
yeah.
now. So he gets Stewart out of the healing chamber to help out, and they decide to, you know, kind of be covert about it, so that way Cyborg Superman won't see them coming. However, one thing I question is, if Cyborg Superman's consciousness is in their rings, when it just like, report back, like, hey...
Yeah, because Baz had
the thing I'm on right now is active and we're coming towards you, so you might want
to. Yeah, because Baz had to use it to get back to.
Yeah.
To Oa, but
Mogo.
Oh, yeah.
There was some book recently that did reference Oa as being still around, and maybe it's in the preview for Grant Morrison's run.
I can't remember. There
was some book where Oa was mentioned as still being there. I was like,
No, I'm pretty sure it's gone.
Oa's pretty much destroyed right now. I think it might have been at that preview. We'll see.
But yeah, I've been liking this series.
Yes,
yeah,
so they distract him, and then when they distract him, the rest of the Lanterns are able to, you know, break out of that, you know, force field.
There's a lot of crap talking going on between Cyborg, Superman, and Hal in this issue. Hey, remember that time I murdered your entire city?
Which
wasn't
you might
that
do
fun?
Again.
Right, because when he disappeared at the end, all of a sudden he appeared in Coast City.
Took down that cop.
Well, no, he let him run. He's like, I'm going to destroy you anyways. I'm going to let you go say bye.
He, like, roughed him up a little bit, though, didn't he?
I think he scared him.
Oh, I thought he...
Because he's like, oh, say bye to your loved ones because I'm destroying everything.
So I'm a big jerk.
Yes.
I like the Cyborg Superman uniform with the symbol. Yeah.
Justice League?
I did read it.
A lot of this issue is Superman putting the moon back together,
mm-hmm.
which I didn't know.
Batman being all jacked up still?
Yeah.
But he has a VR headset in his bed, so that's cool.
And then, what was the name of that? It wasn't a White Martian that Superman sent, or Batman sent to try to stop Superman because Batman wanted, like, a bat base on the moon.
He just wanted the moon to be better. Like, they could make it better than it was. No, it wasn't a White Martian. It was these other... creatures that he said Batman's trying to say were living on the dark side of the moon, and they feed off of solar energy.
Oh yeah, that's right. They were like under the crust or something like that.
Yeah.
Like, we also got a cool.
If they feed on solar energy but live under the dark side of the moon, they're doing something wrong then.
Maybe they like pop over the light side to get some energy, then go back to the dark side to be hidden.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, we got like a. Kind of a bit of a tour of the Hall of Justice, both the civilian side and the superhero side, with the there's a nice little interaction between Flash and John Stewart, where Stewart didn't want the triple decker burger
from Detroit.
Yeah. And so Barry runs to Detroit and picks it up for him, but doesn't get a chance to eat it because...
Batman calls them for some emergency. And also, like, the different...
homes.
Heroes are making, like, their own, you know, areas of the Hall of Justice.
Which I thought that was pretty cool. I liked each person's, like, little... Batman just with keep out spray painted on his big doors. But I thought it was a pretty good issue. I think what next is starts the whole drowned Earth storyline. So that's probably going to be very Aquaman heavy, I'd imagine. And then I'll talk about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles micro series Donatello issue. This issue focuses on, previously in the series, they made Donnie, with the help of a scientist named Howard, created Metalhead, which is like a little robotic turtle that later on in the series, Donatello had to move his conscious into after Bebop and Rocksteady almost kill him. They had to switch his conscious over there so he could survive until his body could heal. So this issue is dealing with he's trying to take the Metalhead technology and try to use it to help predict the future, to help try to figure out different outcomes for disasters before they happen, because a lot of this series, it's them having to react to different things, and he's trying to make it so they can maybe have a plan for something terrible that might happen so they can have a bit of a leg up. This new technology, AI gains its own consciousness and is at first wants to help Donnie figure out the science because it's probably his and he doesn't really have anything else to do. But of course they get they start to disagree and a fight happens, and the scientist Howard, who has been on odds with Donatello due to things going on in the main series, comes back because he has figured out that eventually this Metalhead technology was going to turn on Donnie, and helps fight off the robot, and they're not able to destroy it. It gets away, so they're probably that's something they're probably gonna have to deal with later on in the main series. But it was a good issue. If anybody who's been a fan of this series, I would recommend reading it, especially if you're a Donatello fan. And that's it.
Calling my last bet. Good timing, Spencer. Huh.
Like we plan this.
Almost. Okay, so I have a real eclectic last batch with a lot of Marvel that...
Yeah. I was like Josh last week. I had no Marvel books.
Yeah, you guys are crazy.
I had nothing coming from Marvel.
Okay, first one, What If Spider-Man? This was...
If Spider-Man?
Well, it's not that. It's What If involving Spider-Man. I've always been a big fan of the What If books. The 70s series was some of the stuff I collected, full run of that. And then when I got back into comics after college, What If was one thing I went to. And I still remember the first issue of the second series was What If the Avengers Lost the Evolutionary War. And I remember reading it going, okay, I don't even know what the Evolutionary War was, and gave you a nice little 4-6-page recap of what that was. And then went into, and this was an oversized issue, and then went into, you know, what happens if it went sideways. So, and then, sadly, near the end of the run, it became really abstract. I remember there was almost like a horror book about the Summers brothers and stuff. And then, since I've been open, most of them have been, like, around a theme, like AVX. Secret Invasion, and things like that. And most of them have kind of been tryout books, where it was like a new writer and a new artist, and really mixed results. I remember one specifically. It was almost like Civil War or something, but the art was just really bad. So I approached these kind of like those. No super excitement about them. Sales were always hit and miss. But these have been selling out, and sadly, too late for me to adjust because they're weekly. But What If Spider-Man was basically what if Flash Thompson had been bitten instead of Peter. They were both in the same room.
Would it have been Venom?
No, because what happened was Venom, remember with Venom, he got some humility when he joined the army and then was wounded and things like that. Yeah. This is still the brash, I'm going to beat up Puny Parker.
Well, that's what I was thinking of, like, actual Venom.
Right, right. Well, it was similar, just he was in it for the fame, and he was beating the crap out of people, and, like, a mom was, you know, protecting her son. You know, don't worry, nobody's going to be hurt anymore. He's done. And he's like, what's the matter with you? I caught the bad guy, and just all this stuff.
Okay.
Peter's just, you know, the little, you know, Puny Parker. And then Aunt May gets, and then it kind of, this is where it dovetails into the original series, which was, it was really well done. Aunt May gets sick, and there's, the only thing that can save her is this isotope. But, of course, criminals have hijacked the train and stolen the isotope, and they need to find it in order to save her life. And he had put a spider tracer, because he's the photographer for the Bugle. And Jonah loves these pictures, you know, loves this Spider-Man who's ruthless. So he puts a tracker on Spider-Man and goes to find him, and he ends up in Flash Thompson lives in a trailer, and he goes into the trailer and he's standing there holding the costume, and it's like, Flash, you're Spider-Man. And Flash is like all pissed off and yelling at him. He's like, no, we need to save this isotope to save my aunt. And Flash is like, I don't care about your aunt, and punches Parker so hard that he kills him and realizes, oh my God, what have I done? I'm supposed to be the hero and now I've done this. So he goes to get...
So Peter's his Uncle Ben?
Kind of, yeah. So he then decides that he needs to, you know, save the day, and he goes to get this isotope, and it's the exact same scene where he's trapped under the machinery and has to push it up. But through all this, while he's talking, in the first one, it's Peter having, you know, realizing that he's a hero, and he has to do this, and, you know, building himself up to push it up. Well, he realizes through his thought process and everything that he's not a hero, but he has to do this because he has to right the wrong that he did, even though he's not a hero. And he pushes out and saves Aunt May, and then they lead him away in handcuffs. But it was really, I enjoyed it. I thought it was really good.
I'm flipping through it. I really like the his costume. Like,
yeah,
his Spider-Man costume.
Yeah, costume was a little different. Yeah. Okay, next one was Umbrella Academy Hotel Oblivion. Now, I really enjoyed both Umbrella Academy books. I remember when the first one was coming out, I'm like, some rock star thinks he can write comics. I'm not even going to bother with this. And it came out, and it sold well.
Snob.
And, well, snob. It was a snob. And then I didn't read it, and people kept telling me how good it was. And so finally, like, I had a copy come in that was just mangled. So I took it home to read that, the trade,
what,
of the first one.
What is the Umbrella Academy?
Umbrella Academy is these...
I've heard of, but I've never actually read it.
I'm with you, Spencer.
It's these kids that... all have powers, different things, and they live, and there's this one guy that's kind of in charge of them.
X-Men.
Kind of, but not quite.
Harbinger.
No, not powers. They don't all have the same powers. They all have different things. One guy's really old, but he's a small kid.
Harbinger's all different powers.
Okay. Yeah. I read it a long time ago.
Amateurs are recruiting.
Yeah, whatever, fine. Yeah, sorry.
Maybe in the original.
I was thinking Harbingers were all the psyots, sorry. I mean, the mental people.
Oh, like telekinesis or something?
Yeah, like the Peter guy who can hear everybody talk and stuff. Okay. I only read the first issue. I'm sorry. But yeah, I don't remember they're like brothers, they're siblings. I don't remember at all. And the second one was even better. I remember I just really enjoyed them, so I was excited about this one. And because my poor memory of exactly who the people are in relationships, it's kind of all out the window, and I was completely lost reading it. But the neat thing is Hotel Oblivion is basically the place they take the bad guys after they capture them, and it's all like on this planet with all this fire and stuff, but it's this hotel where they're taken care of, but they can't hurt anybody. But they're trying to figure out a way to escape, and there's some stuff going on down on Earth. But it was good, but I definitely need a refresher on Umbrella Academy. The first one was neat where they were... someone had corrupted one of their siblings who was like this violin. She had no real powers other than this music that she could produce, and some bad guy figured out a way to weaponize her. That was good. But, okay. Spider-Geddon Zero. So I decided I had this in my bag. This one came out a little bit ago, but with Spider-Geddon 1 hitting today, I figured I should read this one. And I really didn't totally need to. Although reading this and Superior Octopus kind of got me ready for Spider-Geddon. But what... this was about it was a two-part story. The first part was about, it was a little annoying because it was Superior Octopus guy, not the same one that's in the Superior Octopus book, but more the one from back when he had his own series, went to the world where it's the video game Spider-Man. And they team up to beat the tarantula of that world, and he's trying to get him to come join the group because they needed to stop this big bad thing. Well, what the big bad thing is, the inheritors who were in Spider-Verse that they put on this radioactive planet so that they can't leave, like, this bunker. If they leave, they'll die, so it's kind of their own prison. They keep sending these robots in to monitor and see what's going on, and the one keeps grabbing and destroying the robots. Pat's friend.
I hate robots.
But what they don't realize is they keep sending these robots, and they're breaking them and using the technology in them to build a device to let them escape. So they're basically giving them all the tools for their escape. So then you go to Superior Octopus, which is the story of Doc Ock in San Francisco being the protector, but he's a little ruthless. And
so he's Superior Spider-Man.
Right, still, but he's Superior Octopus because now he has an octopus costume and he has the arms.
But I think he's supposed to go back to Superior Spider-Man.
There is, there's a new series coming. But in this one, so he recruits, like, these bad guys to help him clean up the city.
The Superior Six.
And then when he gets back to his hideout, Hydra's there because he had worked for Hydra during Secret Empire. And they're saying, you know, he's like, I did what you did and I'm out. He's in there like, no, you're never out of Hydra. Once you're in, and this is all of ours. And it turns out he has these cloning vats, that he used the inheritor technology, because their thing was about cloning, to do it for him so he could clone his body and make improvements so he doesn't become, you know, big fat Doc Ock. He's this Doc Ock. So
big fat
Hydra Doc shows up, and they also have... the guy, Gorgon, who starts fighting him, but it's actually just like a clone of Gorgon, because Ernim Zola is there, who's the master of cloning. And he fights Gorgon, and during the course of the fight, he rips off Gorgon's mask and then sees his eyes, and he turns into stone. And they break him, and then all of a sudden he comes back. He's like, what, did you think I'm stupid? I'm a master of cloning. So he then... takes them out. So then, well, then you get to Spider-Geddon 1 that I'll talk about next week. But things have gone bad because he was using the inheritor technology, and with them having the means of escaping, things go bad. Ta-da. The Dreaming number 2 was good, still continuing on the story of what's going on in The Dreaming with Merv Pumpkinhead and this girl Dora, who's some monster that she doesn't even know what she is. And things are just going bad. The only thing I'm not liking about this is there's no indication of what's going on with Sandman. Since he's not in The Dreaming and things are kind of disintegrating and going, you know, haywire there, we don't know what it would be nice to see what he's doing in the means, you know, have a little more to the story other than the fact that he's just not there. So, but good in a very Sandman-y way.
And then I liked in the first issue with Lucien having to finally, like, just pretend to be him.
Right.
To ward off.
In this one, it shows he's taken that power a little too far. Now he thinks he's trying to control things using that power and stuff, and Merv's not happy with the way he's doing stuff. But you still have those little non-people things doing stuff, and Merv's mad because they're kind of taking over his job and his crew, and he's not happy about that. It was interesting. But yeah, I want a little bit more... You know, what's going on.
Yeah.
And then the last one I read was X-Men Black Magneto, which is basically just a Magneto story. He's in some diner and talking to some girl, and it's, you know, like in Arizona or someplace, and they're talking about these internment camps for mutants, pretty much like what's going on now with the, you know, the kids and all this, and, you know, him so taking that.
To Mexican and...
Right. Yeah. And you have the issue, and, you know, he doesn't... He, you know, can't use his powers to take them, so he has to reason with them and stuff. And then there was a backup story about Apocalypse ending up on some other world, and he doesn't know where he is. It was weird. I still don't get Apocalypse, because I wasn't reading back in the day. I don't understand what the things attached to his arms are. So, that's just me. Those tube pipe things. Every time I was looking at a picture of him, and the giant A belt buckle just made me laugh. Every time they showed that, I'm like, what's going on with this guy? So
he's a little country.
A little bit rock and roll?
That's right, yeah.
Okay. So, that's all I read. Well, it was 10, though. I'm happy with 10. Okay. I only got two in week. For the next week, so I got some work to do. What's going on next week is I can finally return my Batman 50s. And my Cat and a Woman number one, so that kind of made me happy.
Do you have a lot left?
I don't know. I'm going to have to look. I probably do. I mean, I ordered a lot. So, I ordered 190 copies, so 95 copies. So, yeah, I probably have some. So, which I think was the downfall of our relationship with DC. But that's a story for another day once we see how everything shakes out here. So, coming next week, we have Aquaman 41, which is part of Drowned Earth. Archie 1941 number 2, just for Dave. Batman 57, we'll see what happens when he finally runs into KG Beast. Captain Ginger, this is one from Ahoy Comics, where after humanity has finally died off, the cats have inherited the Earth, and now Captain Ginger is in charge of trying to keep the cats in line against, you know, all the problems that they're facing. Cover number 2, which is the next, is the Bendis book. Damage is a foil cover one. Exorcisters, this one's from Image, about these twin sisters. If your loved one's soul has been taken to hell, they can get it back for a price. And these twins aren't exactly identical, so they need to see why. They're like Kate and Kate, but it's K and a C, and they're very different people. And there's some secret behind that.
Dun, dun, twins dun. Are not the same people.
I know.
I mean, genetically they are, but they're not. Yeah.
Harley Quinn 52 is the foil cover. Infinity War's Weapon Hex, number one. Justice League 10, foil and Drowned Earth. It's everything in one. Justice League Dark, number 4, is foil and the Witching Hour tie-in. We have Lucifer, number 1, which is the next part of the Sandman universe. Marvel Zombie is a one-shot with the zombie Simon Garth and doing some Halloween-y stuff. Nightwing 51 is foil. Continue on that story. Or it might not be continuing. This might be the first of the Lobdell issues. Peter Parker Spectacular Spider-Man 311 is a tie-in to Spider-Geddon. Quantum and Woody, but again, we're not getting cover B. So I don't know why they can't get their act together on that. Shuri, number 1.
They're running out of the foil.
Yeah, if you're a big fan of Black Panther, you're going to want to pick up Shuri. Sideways, number 9, is a foil cover. Teen Titans 23 is a foil cover. Unstoppable Wasp, number 1, because you loved it so much the first time, it's back. We have Venom Annual. We have What If Ghost Rider. And basically on the cover, he looks like the guy. He's standing on the hood of the car playing a guitar, like from Mad Max.
Okay.
So, Wonder Woman, Justice League Dark. Oh, no, Witching Hour. I'm getting my damage replacements finally are coming in. And then X-Men Black Mystique is next week. I apologize if you wanted the Mojo issue. I sold out right away. There was very little demand before it came out. And at the last minute, they added 4 writers to the book, which did not exactly instill me with confidence. 3 weeks before the book comes out, they're adding 4 writers. And it's Mojo. I don't, you know, there's this website I used to go to called Nobody's Favorite. You know, because he'd say, you know, every character is somebody's favorite, and this guy would do a website of people that there's no way this character is your favorite. Mm. It's Mojo. Who cares about Mojo? And, you know, it's like Magneto, I ordered, higher on. Emma Frost, you know, Mystique, but Mojo? So I ran out. Sorry, maybe they'll make more. So that's what's coming next week.
You demanded it more.
Yeah,
Mojo.
Somebody demanded more Mojo, which I don't know who did it.
I think it was Mojo.
So you're saying you lost your Mojo?
I ran out of it. No, I didn't lose. I just ran out of Mojo. So that's next week. Saturday is Walking Dead Day, where I do have a limited amount of the special black bag. Walking Dead books. The problem is there were like 12 or 15 of them, and we had to order these back in June or July, and there was no buzz. And I ordered like 4 copies of each, which was still...
That's still 60 bucks.
You know, 60 books with no buzz. You know, I didn't know what to make of this. And still don't know what to make of it. So I have a couple of each one in for Saturday, and we'll have a sale like on the trades and things. Book club is going to be on the 26th, which is going to be Lock and Key Volume 1. And then we have Halloween Comic Fest, which is on October 27th. So we'll do the costume contest and have all the goodies for that.
I'll probably miss that book club too then.
Oh, cool, man. I did that book like just for you.
It's the day I get back from Minneapolis.
Womp womp.
Sad.
I'm sorry.
Just cancel the whole thing.
Yeah.
I've read the book. It's really good. I like it. Book club over. Beat.
You can dance to it. Okay. That's pretty much about the discussion. Yes. Yeah. So, that's all I got. As always, you can find me at the store. Website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook under Pittsburgh Comics. Twitter and Instagram are PGH Comics. So, we will talk at you next week. Pat!
That's the podcast.
See ya.